The following Bigfoot show was recorded way back on November 9th, 2008, and is only being released now because Brian is a dork. We apologize. Also, due to technical difficulties and Brian's aforementioned dorkiness, Scott and Paul sound quieter than we would have liked for the first 16 minutes or so. We could fix this, but it would be difficult and delay release of the episode until March 2012. Oh, this episode also contains explicit language and the recorded sounds of certain bodily functions. Really? I'm not kidding. You have been warned.
Hello.
Hello, Paul.
Oh, that's good.
Calling Scott.
Hello.
Hello, Scott.
Hey, man.
Paul.
Hello, Scott.
Hello, Paul. I assume we're recording. You guys have your radio voices on.
Yes, I'm wearing my radio voice now. Or my 70s porn star voice. I'm not sure which this is.
Hello. So how have you guys been?
Swell, man.
I've been Robert Wagner suddenly. Beautiful. Terrific.
It's been a long time since we've had you on, man.
I know. What, it's been about 10, 15 years?
Yeah.
Like,
so, how was the harvest?
What, you mean the crane?
No, the joke has been, and I'm so glad you've been keeping up on your Bigfoot show stuff, because you have no idea what I'm talking about. The joke has been that you go off and you say you're going to do this hiking thing, and actually what you're doing is you're tending your marijuana crop.
Damn, I was found out.
In the Sierras, you've got some sort of large plantation or something up there.
Wow, I wish I had the balls to do that.
We've even been sending everybody to your walkpcp.com website.
Well, that's good. Yeah, that's why. You know, that must be based on that photo of my Facebook photo with me lying out sprawled with a cigarette hanging out of my mouth and a half-empty Jim Beam bottle right in front of me.
Oh, is that you? We thought that was just somebody mugged on the trail.
Yeah. It was my twin brother, actually. I actually have a quarter mile left to finish the Pacific Crest Trail.
You're still not done?
No, it's this wacky quarter mile in the Southern Sierra that I'm going to probably do sometime in early December, because I've been spending some time up in the Sacramento Delta region, and then so I'm going to be going down to Southern California later on. So it's just been logistically kind of tough to do. And
it seems like a lot of effort to go to for a quarter of a mile. Can you not walk around the block a couple of times and
yeah, but see, that wouldn't be part of the PCT, or actually more technically, what will happen when I do that quarter mile is that I will have completed a continuous line from Mexico to Canada. I've 98.87% of which has been on the actual PCT, but I've had to do different routes due to fire closures and a couple of shortcuts. So,
wow.
And that was the goal of this film, available at Walk PCT in February 09, I want to call it Walk. So in order to, I felt to justifiably call it that, I had to have completed essentially a walk from Mexico to Canada.
And this is a man who can't even walk to the bathroom.
Yeah.
That's a good one. And no one has any idea what you're talking about.
Yeah, I didn't. I was going to laugh, but then I said, no, I wouldn't. I'd be laughing at somebody I didn't quite understand. So, did you say Manicani?
No, you can't. You can't even walk to the bathroom, he said.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Because I wear
the Depends, yes.
You know what? I think we should just tell everyone what that's referring to. I'm free to tell that. Well, should I just explain what that
you
means?
You are. You are free to do it, since it was you who did it. So feel free to fill everyone in.
Anybody with half a brain has already deduced what we're talking about. Well, maybe not fully. They could think I took a dump in my chair. But it was, I don't know, the first or second show, and I had to take a leak. And so I whizzed in a cup during the telecast.
I think now, I think it was episode 4.
Oh, really?
So I think it was 4. Yeah, cuz it was after it was after Owen. I know it wasn't on Owen's show.
Yeah.
Anyway.
So I would have had plenty of time. I could have made a sandwich, taken a dump, driven to LA and back during Owen. We kid Owen. We love Owen.
You could have eaten it and digested it and excreted it all of the time that he was answering one question.
And Owen, and we love you.
We do kid Owen. Owen is awesome. It was all us. It was all our fault. But there is that point in the episode where there's a little sound of water or something, and I call it. I'm like, what the hell's that? Who's drinking water? And you're like, dude, you can hear that? And anyway, it turns out, we found out after we were done recording that Scott had relieved himself on the air.
Yeah.
If you visit the website, it is episode 4. You should have gone before we left.
That's right.
The website, of course, is very up to date.
Oh, Paul.
We're episode 9 now, are we?
Oh, good Lord. No, this is episode 9. Yes, it is episode 9.
Oh, my
9.
God.
Yeah,
well, we didn't. Episode, I missed?
You missed.
We have episode 5 up on the latest show.
You missed 2. Well, that doesn't, because episode 6 is the lost episode. There is no 6.
Yeah, it still counts. Mm.
So this is episode 9. It's the 8th that we'll release. 6 is lost episode.
How are the downloads? And more importantly, do you think number 4 now will be getting an increase in hits?
I would hope so.
Including you, Scott, we have 3 downloads.
Wow! Yeah. Wow! It's like wildfire.
Yeah, it is. It's so, spreading across
we're
across
actually
the county.
We're actually going to get an award soon for the most inconsistent podcast on the planet.
Good. Well, the reviews are pretty good. I mean, the ones all three of us put up there. I think.
True.
True. You know, giving it some good ratings. So, but yeah.
So you though, Scott. So now you've done all but a quarter of a mile of the Pacific Coast Trail.
Actually, Crest. It's so
Pacific
funny how many times.
Crest Trail.
Crest. I'll literally say that to people, but you're not the first. I'll go, yeah, I've done the Pacific Crest Trail. And they go, oh, yeah, where is the Pacific Coast Trail? No, it's not the coast. It's the Crest. Yeah, I have a quarter mile. And again, just to be absolutely accurate about this, when I do that quarter mile, mm-hmm. it will be a continuous line I would have walked between Mexico and Canada, the vast majority of which took place on the Pacific Crest
Trail. How many miles is that?
It's roughly 2,660 miles.
So seriously, what's a quarter mile? Just say you did it. No one listens to
this.
No one will know.
Well, first of all, we've got now evidence.
No one listens to this.
But I want to tape it too. See, it's part of this documentary.
Just to put it into some sort of perspective, if I were to walk that distance, I'd be in Iceland.
Wow. And apparently Jesus. As well.
Yes, he would be the second coming of Jesus.
I'd be the only person in Iceland because everybody else has left because there's no money there.
You'd be the only person with money, that's for sure.
Speaking of which, I know this is a little tangential, it has nothing to do with Bigfoot or anything else to talk about, but I'm telling you.
Clearly has no place on the Bigfoot show then.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
The best slideshow I've ever seen about hiking, because I'm totally into hiking, was about this guy named Jonathan Ley, L-E-Y, who hiked across Iceland. Iceland's amazing, you know, all the geothermal landscape there, and it's a beautiful country, especially for hiking. It takes like 3 weeks to walk across it, but it's pretty stunning. So if anybody's out there interested in hiking, look up like hiking in Iceland, and I'm pretty sure you won't see any pictures of Bork.
If you ever have half a day to spare, you can always do the coast to coast trail in England.
Yeah, I hear that. It's connected by like 800 pubs. Is that correct?
Yeah, you don't have to take a tent or anything. You just go from pub to pub.
That's awesome. I like that.
Takes about 10 days, and then they drive you back in. Then they drive you back in about 2 hours to where you started.
Nice.
So I just want to. I want to put a point on that. You can walk across your entire country in 10 days.
Yeah, there's a point in the north of England that's quite narrow, not far from where Hadrian's Wall was built. It's the narrowest point. It takes about 10 days to walk.
Is that where the guy in American Werewolf in London got attacked?
No.
Pretty much everything I know about England.
He was supposed to be
Werewolf
on the Yorkshire Moors. They were in fact in Wales when they filmed it.
There are no Wales in England.
Wow.
Wales, the country.
Oh, I'm sorry. Oh, as in, so when they say Prince of Wales, they're not talking like Prince of like Orca. They're talking about Prince
no.
of this place.
Lord Shamu is not on some kind of parchment anywhere.
I
think how many people have actually switched off this podcast by now?
That's the whole point, isn't it?
Is the Bigfoot talk?
Okay, well, we got some Bigfoot talk. First of all,
yeah.
Even though I feel like I've been talking about this for the past 6 years. You were on the trail for this entire Georgia hoax thing.
Yeah, and I'm telling you, because my trail name is Squatch, because people know I'm very much into Bigfoot, and I had at least three or four people while in the middle of nowhere go, "Hey, did you hear they found a Bigfoot in Georgia?" And I'm like, really? And they start telling me, and then I swear to God, the first question I asked the first person who told me this, as soon as I heard this, within about 2 minutes, I said, was the name Tom Biscardi connected to this in any way? And one guy goes, yeah, I think so. And I go, probably not true. I'm going to guess there's some kind of costume involved with this. And lo and behold, there was that goofy freezer shot. But that I couldn't believe it. It was just recently that I looked at the on YouTube the press conference with those clowns.
Mm-hmm.
Why doesn't Tom Biscardi just kill himself? Just kill yourself, Tom. You're like you're such a scam artist. End it. Get it over with. I'm half kidding, Tom. If you ever hear this, but I mean. Let me ask you guys this question. Do you think that episode will represent a death knell to Tom Biscardi being considered in any way, shape, or form of being taken serious in the Bigfoot world? Or is it just more people going to come along, oh, yeah, it was good, blah, blah, you know?
I don't think it'll harm his reputation one bit.
Which
amazing.
Is a very political
just...
answer.
The thing is that the people that go to Biscardi are the media, and the media don't give a damn.
Yeah.
All they want is somebody who can get in front of a TV camera and talk.
Right.
And that's what
it
does.
And they need a new Bigfoot kicker story at the end of a newscast to go, well, yeah, you know.
Yeah. In fact, if anything, he's going to get more work now that Beckyord is dead.
True.
That's happened since we last.
That was four and a half podcasts ago, Scott.
But you were walking. So
wow, that yeah.
So this is the episode where this is like where Scott's woken up out of the coma on the daytime show, and we
yeah,
have to
I
like.
Actually,
do you know what you?
I was actually that guy in the freezer. That was me in the costume.
Hold still, Scott.
You know, there was I was talking to somebody a few years ago when I was on a job. They were just thinking about Scott being on the trail during this. And this chap was telling me that he'd fallen into a coma 2 days before Princess Diana died, and didn't wake up for 3 weeks until it was all over. And I just I was so jealous.
Yeah, boy, I still when. That phenomenon. Let me start it on that. The adoration of her in post death is so pathetic.
It was
wow.
embarrassing.
I mean, yeah, she was a nice lady. She did some charity. Well, for God's sakes, you know, she was a friggin' alleged virgin who got picked out of obscurity, and now she's a heroine. You know, people look at her as like, oh my God, I wish I could be like that. Do absolutely nothing to get all this notoriety. I guess it's kind of like the Britney Spears syndrome in England, I suppose. I have no talent, nothing you actually work at to do, but yet I can be famous.
My God. So everyone who's listening, if you want to send your emails to scott@walkpct.com.
Wow, I'm going off, aren't I?
You are. You've had this whole summer worth of pent-up bile just to come.
You know, of course, now, Brian, you've got a legitimate excuse now to put Princess Diana and Britney Spears into the same podcast title on iTunes. You're going to get so many downloads now. It'll be unbelievable.
You know what? I got to tell you, what I'm not worried about is anybody who's a really big fan of either Princess Di or Britney Spears probably can't put together an email and send it. So I'm not really worried.
Very nice.
I am pent up. I'm sorry. I apologize to anyone I truly offended, but not those I only have offended, because if you are a fan of either of those, two people, including Eric Beckyard and Tom Biscardi.
Did you know Eric? Have you ever, how often?
Oh yeah, I had a direct encounter with Eric at the forgot what year, maybe like mid to late 90s Canadian Bigfoot Conference. I was showing Journey Towards Squatchdom.
Uh-huh.
And he stood up in the middle of it and go, "This is bullshit." Because I was interviewed, and apparently he was a miner from the 80s. "This is bullshit."
Did he have a little light on his head and everything?
He got kicked out of the conference for doing that because it was during the part of Journey Towards Squatchdom when I'm interviewing Datus Perry, who I thought I did a pretty good job. I mean, you know, here's a guy, Datus Perry. Granted, he was sick and he was in bed, but here's a guy who's claimed to have seen a Bigfoot like 13, 14 times. So the whole thing about Journey Towards Squatchdom was kind of making fun of those people who I thought were giving Sasquatchery a bad name because of their either mental illness or just BS.
What? There are people like that? And I don't...
Yeah, I know.
I've never met any of them.
Yeah. So he confronted me about stuff like, you know, why, you know, Datus Perry was a good friend of mine. Well, that's great. That's great. We both lived in La La Land. Okay.
The guy that was in the trailer?
Yeah, that was Datus. So he stood up during that, yelled out that it's bull because he just thought I was, you know, completely making fun, which was half true. I mean, it was, you know, I was kind of making fun of Datus, but Datus was pretty much making fun of himself, I felt, you know, because he was either crazy or full of shit. Can I say shit?
You can say shit. Yes.
Anyway, okay.
Hell no.
So anyway, so Eric was, I actually probably have more empathy than happiness that he's no longer in the Bigfoot world or the world in general. Because he was truly mentally ill. I mean, people like to rag on him and he was a malicious guy and he would call all these people and berate them. But he was a bona fide, I believe he was paranoid schizophrenic from what I heard. I knew he was on medication of some type. And so
Viagra from what I heard.
For what was that?
Viagra from what I heard.
Yeah. Well, maybe that too, but he was messed up. And you know, obviously to some degree, a human being has got to take responsibility for his actions. But I think there was a lot of baggage, either genetically or environmentally, that occurred to Eric, independent of any of his own BS. So
I like to think that he at least enjoyed himself.
Oh, I think he did. I don't know. He was just a piece of work. And I wonder how, you know, he seemed to be one of those guys that you couldn't even, like, was he completely crazy or was he like, you know, I don't know how many people know, or I'm sure both you guys are aware of this, but he was actually on David Letterman. He was on Letterman. And so he had this, obviously to go on Letterman, he had to have some sense of humor about what he was doing. But then it just went into this realm where he seemed to have no sense of humor. Like he would just get completely psychotic, or was he just, he was so BSing people and joking that evolved into psychosis. You know, I mean, the whole thing about, oh, there's a baby in the Patterson film and there's robotic arms.
Lots of babies. Yeah. There was a picture on his website where he circled all of the babies in the background of the PG film. And
They're about 30 or so.
No, there's a daycare center they found themselves in the middle of. It was a baby Bigfoot daycare.
And in fact, the first time I met him, this was like back in 1987. This is like over 20 years ago. Showing me these. I am. I'm 71. And he showed me, actually, you know, an old Bigfooter from Southern California named Rich Grumley, who it had done some investigations in the Southern Sierra, and I met Beckyard with him one day at a Denny's, and Beckyard sat down and showed me these two photos, which were just blobs. I mean, just blurs. And he goes, this is a mom and this is two. And he seemed very, very serious about it. You know, like
what year was this?
You know, but this is like 1987, I believe.
Good God.
Yeah. And, So it was then, and I'd heard some, you know, rumblings about him, about the, you know, the, oh, the, God, the, you guys know the Rene DeHinden story about him? Did we ever talk about that on the air where he would, DeHinden said the first, yeah, the first time that DeHinden met him, he's, you know, it was like, you know, I'm paraphrasing here, but, oh, God, this guy was so full of shit. I couldn't believe, I mean, it was like, he comes to this goddamn conference. He's got a big fur coat on, and we all go out, we got our rifles, and we're all looking. I, certainly, I'm doing a horrible Eric Beck, not Eric Becker, Rene DeHinden. Who am I doing? It sounds horrible. Anyway, we go out, and we're looking, you know, investigating, exciting, and all of a sudden, fucking Backyard comes through the bushes wearing this big coat. I thought to myself, oh, my God, I could have shot that bastard right then and had justifiable cause. That's such a great story. That I could have ended the misery for everybody in this fucking world with that bastard.
So, that is a great story.
Oh, my God. So, yeah, that was pretty funny. So, I mean, you know, wherever Eric is now, I hope he's in a, you know, if he is, in fact, anywhere, I hope he's in a better state and not plotting any afterlife revenge for me.
No, he's...
You're probably on his list, but you're pretty far down there, so don't worry about it.
I don't know after this one. You know, one last thing about Beckyard I want to say, but it was interesting that I always kind of like Lauren Coleman's attitude toward Beckyard, in that he always kind of referred to him as a jokester. So maybe that was, I mean, maybe Lauren knew him earlier and just took him to be that. Just that, and who knows, maybe Lauren's right, that he's actually was just always this, like the like an Andy Kaufman of the Bigfoot world, but a belligerent one, that he was really joking.
Yeah, you know,
not truly psychotic.
That's the thing about him. I mean, he was, you know, quote unquote, legitimate at one point. I mean, he's in, you know, one of John Green's books. He's known, knew John Green for quite a while. I mean, so he had been sort of like part of the, you know, legitimate world. And
yeah,
that Kaufman-esque thing, that's an interesting idea, that maybe he just decided to take this whole thing like into performance art or something. And,
yeah, that, I mean, because it was so crazy, so many of the things he said, but yet he seemed, I don't know, I mean, he was seemed so, like when I told you, when I met him 21 years ago and he's showing me those blobs on the photo, I mean, there was no hint of humor. I mean, not, I mean, I don't know. Maybe he was a little of both, that he bullshitted so much about it, he started believing his own bullshit, and that led him to slip into technically a psychotic state, or who knows. But he was, I think anybody who got to know him over a period of time, he was pretty messed up.
Yeah,
I was reading a few weeks ago. I think it was a BBC news article about a medical condition where people do see things in photos that aren't there.
Yes. Yeah, there's a specific name for it.
I just wish I could remember what it was called.
I think it was actually, I know it's been discussed at Bigfoot Forums. I don't know if you guys have heard of that site.
So, Paul, are you saying it's a condition specific to people, or just it's just a phenomenon in general? Because there is a phenomenon.
No, the article was suggesting that it's a medical condition.
Interesting.
Yeah.
That it's some sort of weird chemical thing. And that's about as much as I can remember about it. It was weeks ago. I'd prepared this ready for recording a podcast months ago. I like to think that Beckyard's neither in heaven nor hell, but stuck in a photo somewhere with a little with a little red circle around him.
Just his ass poking up from behind a tree.
Kind of Twilight Zone-ish. Somebody's got a photo of him somewhere in a collection.
He's trapped in this photo.
He'd be happy.
Wow.
Yeah, so some time ago, Brian, you put together a schedule of when we were going to record this, and we were going to do this every 3 weeks.
Why do you say these things? Why do you have to say these things? Nobody knows about the schedule. I bet Scott doesn't even know about the schedule.
I don't, but I like that Paul's calling you on it, if in fact you've let it slide. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
No, you didn't let us. I mean, not that I'm an essential core to these things. I've been gone, but you guys have probably been busy. And, you know, I think generally the world of Bigfoot, apart from the Georgia hoax thing, is it slowed down a little bit. Didn't we talk about that on the last podcast? You know, it seems it's as of a year ago, year and a half ago, you know, Bigfoot stuff was really intense. And I think it's always, it'll be cyclical, this thing, because I think it is a bona fide mystery. And it's just, you know, we've gone through our little Bigfoot cycle generally in the culture. And I'm saying this because my sales are down, but, you know, of Squatching, Journey Toward Squatchdom, available at Amazon.com. So please help a starving artist. But I don't know.
That could also be because there's no money left anyway.
That's the other thing.
You know, that's true. And then you got the economic. Yeah, exactly. It's almost going to have. And I think plus the Georgia debacle to a lot of people, you know, it's like, oh, God, you know, whatever. This, you know, enough of the hoaxing, you know. And it's, so it, maybe it's fortified skepticism in the. In the possibility that these things actually do exist.
See, and I don't know that Georgia did anything one way or the other. I mean, if you already thought that we were full of crap or, you know, even considering this thing exists, then you're still thinking that. And if you thought that it existed, you still do. And if you were sort of, you know, Bigfoot curious, and I think that's what we saw during the Georgia hoax, was that there were a lot of people who wanted to find out more information about Bigfoot. I mean, you still are Bigfoot curious. I don't think that at the end of the day, the hoax did anything, good, bad, or indifferent, except expose literally millions of people who are interested in this subject who otherwise don't do anything about it. I think that just under the surface of the population, there is a huge interest in this that most people, because they have lives, perhaps, or jobs, or families, they don't get involved the way that, you know, us.
You know what it might have done? I think you're right, actually. I think the interest is still there. But maybe what the Georgia incident did is it brought to the more, you know, average enthusiast, helped hammer home the notion, you know, hey, you know what? For this thing to be verified, actual physical remains are going to have to be found. Because look how long this thing went on, and oh, they seemed so believable, and it was BS.
Yeah.
So it's actually, maybe that's the good side of it. It helps reinforce the a scientific attitude toward this, that apart from a full or part of the carcass, all other evidence is going to be pretty fakey capable.
It's interesting you say that, because one of the things I wanted to talk about today was recently on the Vanity Fair's website, there was a story posted from a reporter who was at the Texas Bigfoot Research Conservancy's annual conference. And one of the things that he says in this article, let me see if I can quote him verbatim. What did I do with it?
Why would you want to do that to a reporter? Can't you just make stuff up?
That's what he did.
Did he make stuff up, or did he?
You know, well, I think... Well, go ahead, Paul.
No, carry on.
No, you talk, because I can't find the stupid art. Oh, here it is. He says, let's see here. Da, 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 da. This is very exciting.
Britney Spears. We just talk about thought I'd add that he... Just to keep the, you know, just to keep the iTunes hits coming in.
Yeah, I'm just amazed Vanity Fair did an article.
Well, they sent this loser, and I'll talk about him in a minute, but this is what he says. He says, perhaps the most telling moment of the conference occurred during the panel discussion. Asked if they thought it was ethical to shoot and kill a Bigfoot, if only to collect DNA samples for research, every speaker without hesitation said no. Now, let me just say, first of all, he's mischaracterizing that question because I asked the question. The question was, should we collect a type specimen? It was not a question about DNA. It was a question about whether or not we should collect a type specimen. Do we need a type specimen? Then he says that every speaker without hesitation said no. That's bullshit. Meldrum waffled on it and eventually came down on the side of no. And then Kathy Strain and Alton Higgins basically both said yes. That's the way I would interpret what they said. So he's mischaracterizing what happened. Now, I have this recorded, and I'm going to be releasing this as a BIPcast sometime in the next decade. So, but you know, that's just one small paragraph out of his article. But what bothers me about it is he makes it sound like we don't want DNA because if we find it, it might actually prove that Bigfoot doesn't exist, And so really all of us are just in this for the mystery. I mean, that's really the rest of this article is basically suggesting that we're only here for the mystery. And that just really pisses me off because he's
that is bullshit.
And in fact, we had that conversation at Willow Creek in 2003 with a journalist there, Brian, didn't we?
I don't remember anything before 2005. So.
We were sat in the middle of the Willow Creek conference, which was
That cute girl from the London Times?
I can't remember which paper she was from, but she was
cute.
She was certainly from London.
Yeah, she had that weird accent.
It is weird, isn't it? we always maintain that we don't have accents. It's you guys.
Of course you don't.
Yes.
Anyway, we talked to her
about
that.
But the discussion there was really that actually. You know, everybody in the room, I think, wanted Bigfoot to be discovered officially and scientifically, even though it would mean that all these conferences would disappear.
I think that's true with most people.
Earlier in this the guy's article, the guy, by the way, is named Eric
Carl Sagan.
Eric Spitznagel. I'm not making that up.
The guy's obviously got a bad attitude. If you got a name like that,
exactly,
you're going to hate people generally.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Eric Spitznagel.
But this is the same with. I mean, this is just journalism in general. Every time I've seen or read a story, and I think we discussed this a couple of podcasts ago.
I'm sure we did.
Every time I've seen or read a story where I know something about the subject, it's been wrong.
Yeah.
What frustrates me about this isn't one of those cases where like that. I mean that's where he misrepresents what people said, you know, and basically he's lying because he had a tape recorder with him, and I would assume that, you know, if he makes this large point in his article that we don't want DNA because that would ruin it if we did, I assume that he did that maliciously. He represented himself to everyone there, and he interviewed me and he interviewed several other people there. He represented himself as someone who was going to do a serious article on what we were talking about. And in fact, it's just another hack job, just another, you know, let's make fun of the goofballs who think that Bigfoot's real piece of crap article. And it's frustrating because, you know, those of us who interviewed him, we went out of our way to make time for this guy. Craig Woolheater gave him a lot of time at the end of the conference when he had better things to do than sit with this smelly guy from Vanity Fair. And he did smell. I'm not sure this boy has been...
Wow,
like,
that's like an oxymoron, smelly guy from Vanity Fair. You figure you'd have tons of different cologne on and shit, you know, from the samples they put in there.
That's the ironic part. You know, he's from Vanity Fair magazine, and this dude, I don't think his entire body has been wet since the 90s, right? This guy...
Maybe he'd put all the cologne on, and it has a sort of reverse effect the more you add.
If it was like Ode to Roadkill or something, I mean, this guy smelled. I think that maybe he. I don't know. I don't know. Anyway, he was
Sasquatch in disguise trying to discredit the search.
You see a picture of him, he could be just a big shaved Sasquatch. That could be he is.
maybe he was staying at the same guest house Scott stayed at last year.
Oh, yeah. No, I think, yeah. Anyway, he misrepresented himself, and that he got access to people and lots of audio tape of people who thought he was going to do something that he did not do. So it doesn't even bother me. I guess it does bother me that he lied in his article, but what bothers me most of all is that he misrepresented himself and basically turned out to be an asshole, and everyone thought he was going to give us a fair shake. And I don't know why anyone doesn't... Why does anyone hate the media? Well, it's... There you go right there, because they're guys like him. He's a dick, and he gives all the rest of them a bad name. I'm sure they're not all like that, but he certainly was.
Well, you know what could have been... the scenario, because I've encountered this, you know, I did that story for CNN and having done stuff at Tech TV in relation to Bigfoot, is that he might have actually not been in total dictum at that. He could have been at least half or even fully sincere. And then he goes back and then his editor says, oh, no, man, this has got to be funny. And I know that still just shouldn't let him off.
Yeah.
But whatever. I mean, but he... Go ahead.
There are examples of stories I know, not that I've been involved with, but where the reporter has written a story and then the editor has changed certain bits of it or put a picture associated with it that misrepresented the article. In this case, and I have not seen these communications, but I know that people from the TBRC have talked to this guy, and basically he fesses up that this is the direction he went after he was there and saw who was at the conference. And if you read this article, I mean, this was not tweaked by an editor. I mean, this guy just basically wants to make fun of everyone, especially Henner Fehrenbach.
Oh, okay.
He really likes to go after Henner Fehrenbach. But I think that was his reason. I think that's what he was going to do all along. And that's apparently, from what I understand.
Now, what was his name again?
Eric Spitznagel.
So you might be, you might have a lot of self-hatred there. I think that's a German name. Hates himself. Henner Fehrenbach, German name.
There you go.
Okay, kind of a goofy name, too. Could have been, maybe that's why he hammered Henner to some extent, apparently.
Unfortunate. I mean, it was a kind of a fun conference. Last year's was probably a bit stronger as far as the speaker lineup went, but I enjoyed myself. Mm. I mean, I was the MC, so of course I enjoyed myself.
I wish I could have been there, man. I wish, I was still hiking and other stuff. But were you there, Brian? Were you at the one where they had it, that bed and breakfast out in the country where everybody stayed? That was like 2 years ago, I think.
The big sort of white plantation-looking house.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Were you there?
That, well, that was 2 years ago. I didn't stay there. I was staying at a
hotel
by the freeway. Yeah. And you were at the Hooker Hotel.
No, I was out at that was last year. I was at the hotel where I found not one but two hookers underneath dead hookers underneath my mattress. Yeah.
It's funny.
Okay. Anyway,
it's there's a joke. You can never flog to death, can you?
No, you can't get enough of that joke. So, go ahead, Paul.
Call this episode scraping the bottom of the barrel.
Barrel scrapings. That's
the barrel scraping.
Scraping the bottom of the freezer. I was just wondering, are we finished with the Georgia guys? I mean, one of the things that I can't help thinking is that, whenever a story's written about Bigfoot in the next few years, this Georgia thing will be mentioned, and it'll be mentioned in the same way that people refer to Wallace's footprints and confuse him with Patterson and say, oh yeah, he confessed to making the film of his death.
You know, here's what I disagree with that, only in that the thing about Wallace, people confuse Wallace and what he said he did with the Patterson film, and the Patterson film is held up by at least two out of three of us, if not one out of three of us, as a good piece of evidence. So therefore you can say that those idiots, this guy came out and said he did it and they still won't believe him. So that's a misunderstanding on most people's part. I think the difference between that and the Georgia hoax is that really nobody of any importance hung any bit of their reputation on the Georgia hoax prior to it being revealed as a hoax.
I don't think that's important. I think what's important here is that, prior to Georgia, whenever you talk to somebody who had no real interest in Bigfoot, they'd say, oh, wasn't that all proven to be a hoax? Some guy confessed to it on his deathbed. Now I think people will say, oh, well, wasn't that all proven to be a hoax in Georgia? It was a costume in a freezer.
But I think the difference is no one is going to say in 2 years and 5 years, remember the Georgia thing? That was a great example of blah, blah, blah. Which is what people do say about the Patterson-Gimlin film, and that's why people say, well, I thought that was just a fake. Of course, everyone says the Georgia thing is a fake. I just don't think it has legs, because I don't think the community is going to... The reason people keep talking about the Patterson-Gimlin film is because the community won't let go of it, because some of us, not all of us, obviously, but some of us think it's a good piece of evidence. It's sustaining itself that way, because we won't let go of it.
Yeah, I think we'll have to put it to the test, and in 5 years' time, We'll discuss it on the next podcast.
Yes, I want to find out on the next episode.
I don't think. I agree with Brian. I think that Yeah, the Patterson film, and I am skeptical of the Patterson film, but it's certainly, yeah, I don't know if you knew that or not. Check the first, like, four episodes. I think I bring it up every one of them. While, whether or not I was urinating at the time, I don't know. But I think even if you have someone who's a diehard skeptic of Bigfoot, I don't actually think the Georgia thing does anything to their attitude. Kind of what you alluded to earlier in the right. podcast. I think, oh yeah, I remember that. I think the fact that there was a fake with that won't really have affect almost anybody's attitude on it, because it was a fake. I mean, I think a lot of people with half a brain can sit there and go, oh yeah, a guy hoaxed something and it was a pretty obvious hoax, but that doesn't really bear directly on whether or not these things actually exist or not. Yeah, they're still, mm-hmm. they still could actually exist, and but there's also going to be yeehaws who try to cash in and do phony stuff. So, yeah.
I'm really worried about all these people that didn't believe that costumes were real.
Hey, I got to put a plug in for a book that I'm sure both you guys have heard about, and I just finished reading it, and it does have a relic hominid connection to it. It's the book called The Long Walk. You know, the one about the alleged escape from the Siberian labor camp in the early 40s by these, I believe it was six guys, and that they apparently had an encounter with two Yeti-like creatures.
No kidding.
In the foothills of the Himalayas. Great book. There is some controversy as to whether or not it actually is a true story, but whether or not it's true, the whole story is just amazingly written, would make a great film. I think that there's a good core of it is true. It just has such a ring of authenticity to it. And apparently there's been some verification that this guy who, he was actually ghostwritten by someone else, but that this guy who claimed this happened, they did verify that he actually was taken prisoner by the Russians in the early 40s. But this description that they have, and he claims it was them, and everybody who he was with saw. I mean, and it was like an hour and a half to a two-hour observation of apparently two Yeti-like creatures on a saddle that they were getting ready to cross, and they just watched them from this ledge, and they were just standing there and not doing much, just standing, a little swaying, and were fully aware that they were there too, but seemed very disinterested that they were there. A great read. The Long, what is it called? The Long Walk. Yeah, Long Walk.
I will put it in this. Long Walk, True Story of a Trek to Freedom is the total title. I'll put it in the show notes. And
It's really, really a great book. And
not to be confused with Nelson Mandela's autobiography.
What's that called?
No, not at all.
The Long Walk to Freedom.
That's embarrassing.
Although Nelson Mandela apparently was spotted on this trip too, so I don't know how credible that is.
Did he see Bigfoot? I'm confused.
No, he just stole the title.
There's also a book by Stephen King called The Long Walk, apparently. So this is, a very popular title.
That would be a common, three common words, the, long, and walk. You figure this, going to be used more than once. Although I thought Walk the Long was really a good book as well. Walked Along and Long the Walk.
Was that by Greg Long? Did Greg Long do that book?
Apparently, but he was very angry when he wrote it.
the dude's angry like all the time, I thought.
And he had to stop every hour for a donut as well.
I cracked open another soda and I pondered the possibilities. I realized I had gained so much weight I couldn't get out of my car, so I didn't interview Gimlin on that day. That doesn't even sound like Greg Long.
I don't know, Greg,
if you ever hear this.
But who
cares? It sounds like my old miner guy I did earlier. It was like the Hinden brother.
You got one guy, and you just keep doing him over and over.
Now, Bill Clinton. You know, when I was in the White House, Barack Obama. I think I'm going to do a great job as president.
Here's the thing. Something somebody discussed with me earlier in the week. We were talking about the lack of Bigfoot photos.
Fragrance?
A Bigfoot photos. Photographs of Bigfoot.
Oh, photos. I thought you said fragrance. I'm sorry.
No, photos.
Oddly enough, there is a Bigfoot cologne. It's called The Long Walk. I'm not sure.
And
that is weird.
Isn't it?
He said to me, have you ever seen a photograph of Barack Obama smoking?
I have seen, I think. I think I have. I remember seeing.
I don't know that I have or not, Paul.
Yeah. Why, is there supposedly one out there on the web?
No, but apparently he smokes.
Well, he does. Yes. He did, yeah.
Oh, this is kind of like the baby pigeon question. Like we know,
yeah,
we know baby pigeons exist, but we've never seen a picture of one. And we know that Barack Obama has smoked. He says he's quit, though. But then he said he started.
I think pigeons are born fully grown.
Very large eggs.
That's weird. Well, that's a painful birth. Anyway, how big is that egg? Good Lord.
Well,
Welcome to Scraping the Barrel.
But I've actually had someone talk to me about this. Like, well, how come there are no photos of Bigfoot? Well, there are actually photos that people have taken that could be.
Right.
There are very few photos of deer that just happen to walk in front of someone, or very few photos of bears. And these are, you know, relatively speaking, stupid animals who probably don't want to hang around you, but aren't being very stealthy. And just there's so many more of them potentially than there are of Sasquatch in the wild. So there are photos. I think the best photo, and the one that I always use as my example, is the one that Alton Higgins has shown a couple of times, or actually many times, at TBRC events. Of the figure that was photographed in Oklahoma, it's a really interesting photograph. It looks a lot like the Patterson-Gimlin figure. It looks remarkably like the Patterson-Gimlin figure, which if you are one of those who subscribes to that being a authentic film, then that's interesting. If you think it's a fake, then you probably don't like this photo either. But the thing is, like 8.5 feet tall. And that's been determined because there's lots of reference points in this photograph, and they've gone back and sort of recreated the scenario at which it was taken. So, I mean, this is a really interesting photograph. There's two photos. I believe it's two photos in succession that show a very large thing that sort of turns and walks away.
Is it a still or is it a video?
It's two still photos. Yeah. Hmm. They're terrific photos, but the person who took the photos is a tribal member there in Oklahoma and does not want them published. He will share them with scientists or researchers. Alton has the ability to do that, I believe. But they're not published. They're not published photographs because the person who took them did not want them published. So,
what I like about those photographs, of course, is that there is a third photograph that was taken a little while afterwards without it there.
I don't recall that. If that's true, I don't recall that.
There's a third photograph that was taken from the same spot, with somebody standing in its place holding a stick up.
Yeah, that's the recreation that Alton went back and was part of. And
you can make a nice comparison between the two.
It was like 8.5 feet tall. It was huge, whatever this thing was.
Well, let me ask you this, but do the photographs exactly line up?
Pretty darn close.
They're as close as you could get.
What's interesting, Scott, in this photograph is in the foreground, the person who took it was sort of standing under some trees. So in the foreground, there's a branch. And then in the background, of course, there's the trees that the figure was in. So it is not super difficult to align all of those elements and get a pretty close approximation of where that thing was and how tall it was. Of course, it's probably not exactly 100% true, but it's probably close enough. And apparently, Paul, I think Scott's been sucked into a hurricane or something.
Why did you hear? Yeah, you know what, guys? I'm going to be completely honest. I was sitting in a car in a Target parking lot in Lodi, California. And since I am 49, I have to take a leak. So I'm going to walk into the men's room and take a leak during this podcast. So,
wow.
there's going to be no holding back on the leakage on this one. Although I won't say exactly.
Okay.
Hold on, I will be. Can you hold on a minute?
Can you say hi to George Michael for me?
Wait a minute, that's your country. Is he on tour over here?
No, who was the senator from Idaho?
Larry Craig.
Yeah, Senator Craig. Say hi to Senator Craig.
Yeah, hopefully he doesn't shop here. Wait a minute. Okay, I'm walking. I think the wind will cut down. I'm going inside right now. There's the restroom.
There just aren't enough Bigfoot podcasts with people urinating in them, and I think we're gonna solve that problem.
This is a first. Okay, you can probably hear the echo right now.
Sure can.
Oh, there's a... All right, go ahead, guys. Please don't let me interrupt your discussion. Go ahead.
So, anyway, I think that they did a pretty good job of recreating the photo, and the thing is very tall. And it looks... It's not... I'm so desperately trying.
I'm sorry.
What the hell is that?
I was actually putting the phone down into the urinal.
Well, I appreciate the sound effect there.
Okay. Cool. Wait a minute.
Well, I'm glad you're washing your hands. Too.
No, it's flushing.
All right.
Hold on. I got to put the phone down for just a sec, guys. Please continue on. I'm send emails to Brian Brown. Hold on.
So, Paul, my question is, oh, God, now he has to whistle.
Now I'm washing
question,
my hands.
The question is, can this podcast sink any lower?
No. Well, yes, actually, it could. I'm glad. This was a number one and not a number two event.
Yeah. Okay, I'm done.
Super. I'm glad you feel better. Seriously.
Yeah.
Dude, go before we record the podcast.
So, wait a minute, hold on. What was what?
Go before we record. This is the second time we've had to have this.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay. I got a bladder to the size of a walnut.
Apparently.
Okay.
All right. So right, anyway.
What were you going to ask, Ryan?
I don't have any idea what I was going to ask. The point I want to make is there are interesting photos. Are any photos photos of Bigfoot? Of course, we don't know. There's still controversy around the Patterson-Gimlin film. So who knows? But there are photos being taken.
That's you know what? I think there were, if a Bigfoot was found tomorrow, I mean, an actual carcass, I think there will always be controversy around the Patterson film. Because, I don't think it can ever actually be proven. It could be reasonably disproven if Gimlin was involved and he confessed to it. Then I think most people would accept that it was a fake. But it's hard. Go ahead.
If the animal looks like Patty, then I think you're done. I think the photograph from Oklahoma, that animal, that figure in that photograph looked an awful lot like Patty, just a guy version of Patty, and a lot bigger than Patty, as you might expect a male, you know, specimen would be. But it looked a lot like Patty. So if somebody pulls a hairy biped out of the woods and it looks like Patty, case closed on the Patterson film. It's real. If they pull something,
I know that logic doesn't hold up because.
Yes.
Well, because you can't.
I have to go to the bathroom. Hold on a second.
No, it's because we can't. There's no definitive measurements that we can make from the Patterson film. Only relative ones.
Well,
we don't know exactly how far the camera.
We can get pretty close.
Yeah, pretty close isn't verification. It's like it's too. These things are too close to us, if in fact they exist, that if it is a guy in a costume, which has never been conclusively ruled, not even close to being ruled out.
So if there's a logging truck going through Northern California that hits and kills a female Sasquatch, and they lay it on a table, and it looks to all the world exactly like Patty does, you're telling me that that does not prove the Patterson-Gimlin.
It would help the argument, but it wouldn't prove it.
Okay.
Yeah, come on, man. You know that's true. Come on. Because we're talking about proof. We're talking about... Without a doubt. And, yeah, maybe you could get a conviction in a civil trial, and if you had a pretty good lawyer in a criminal trial, you could. But science, hard science,
I think that if you're looking at a specimen on a table that looks like the specimen in the Gimlin film, and you still say that does not prove the Gimlin film, I would say, no, it does not prove the film
to
be
true.
That's
all I'm saying.
But
that's all I'm saying.
Arguing the point would be silly at that point because you have a dead Bigfoot, so who gives a crap anymore?
It would be moot. Exactly.
So that's all we have to do to solve this problem with the Gimlin film is go kill a Bigfoot, and we're done.
More to the point, you've got a complete fur then that you could go and dress somebody up in and go and film it again.
You could do the recreation. The 60th anniversary.
Oh, God, have we got nothing else to talk about?
No, how much time do we have
left? We've been talking, for 55 minutes?
We've been talking for 53 minutes and 40 seconds. This is the problem with every Bigfoot conversation, is they all end up on the Patterson film.
I know, because it is the most interesting aspect of the whole thing, unless there hasn't been there isn't as a more relatively detailed and mysterious piece of evidence as the Patterson film, ever since the Patterson film.
Nope.
Because there's so much yet so maddeningly little to verify it either way. Let's go to a clip. Anyway.
Whenever I give a talk about Bigfoot, the comparison I make when asked why aren't there photographs, is the comparison between that and the number of still or videos of drive-by shootings in Los Angeles. Nobody denies that they take place, but there's only been one video. Mm-hmm. And that's in the city with probably a higher video camera ownership than anywhere else in the world.
Yeah.
I guess it's high. I mean, the thing is, when you see any animal in the wild, you see it very, very briefly, unless you're in a situation like you're a hunter in a stand, and you're waiting for it to walk by. But I would think that the vast majority of animal sightings of any kind are brief, and even if you do happen to have a camera, a still or video,
yeah,
is it ready to go at the time you see the animal?
Exactly.
I mean, go ahead.
Yeah,
okay. Scott.
Yeah, okay. I was going to say that's a point, yeah, I always think is a weak argument by diehard skeptics. Why didn't you get a picture of it? And so few people have a camera, video camera ready to go and realize, I mean, doing this documentary, I have my camera in my little codpiece, I refer to it, you know, in front of me here, and to get that thing out and running takes at least 10 seconds. You don't have your video camera on as you're walking through the woods.
Right.
So there's that, and if you listen or read what people, when they say they've actually seen these things, the majority of the sightings are pretty brief. It's like they see it and it's gone. So, I just think that's a weak argument. You should have got a picture of it. It takes time to get photographic or video ready to go. So.
Yeah, and actually, I've thought about this, because I am usually with camera when I'm out in the woods. I've thought about, you know, would I, if I saw something I thought might be squatchy, would I even bother screwing with the camera? I don't think I would, because
yeah.
I wouldn't want to miss a moment of it. I wouldn't want to miss even a microsecond of it. I would want to see the whole thing.
Yeah, with your naked eye directly.
Right, right. So even if my camera was around my neck, I don't think I would do anything unless I was in a situation where I thought that I might have a long-term kind of experience. But
yeah.
I wouldn't screw around with the camera. I don't care. I want to see it. I don't want to come up with the picture of it for, you know, everyone to say is fake. I want to see it. That's what I want.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I remember back in 91, 92, I think it was, I remember taking a photograph of a deer on Bear Mountain in New York. And I thought it was a fantastic photo. Got it home and developed it, and there's nothing there. In the short time it took me to take the photograph, it had gone.
Yeah.
Maybe it was a ghost of a deer you saw.
No, it was definitely a deer.
You sure it was a deer on Bear Mountain? I mean, it is Bear Mountain. You sure it wasn't just a skinny bear or something?
No.
Was it a naked deer on Bear Mountain? We'll be right back.
Go to the toilet again.
someone go to the bathroom, would you? I'm just looking at this article still from Jimmy
Vanity Fair.
Jimmy, what's his
name? That's a long article, man.
No, he's got me quoted in here, and I will say that he did quote me accurately. The problem is then
where's the bathroom?
Where's the bathroom in this place? According to Brian Brown, the conference's MC and the host of several Bigfoot podcasts, their interest level is somewhere between aloof skepticism and giddy enthusiasm. And then I say, a lot of people here try to be as conservative as possible. It's all about the results and not jumping to conclusions. But as in any field of study, there are a large number who just want to believe. They want to go out into the woods and get scared. They love the idea that there's a hairy monster out there in the shadows somewhere, which I've said several times. But then he goes to say that there's this guy named Michael Cathay, who I don't even think I met, an enthusiast from Oklahoma, who falls into the latter category. Well, I didn't say that he fell into the latter category. This guy is basically suggesting all on his own, and it makes it sound like, you know, in some way that I was talking about Michael when I've never met him, I don't think.
More importantly, when he says that you produce several podcasts, does he mean several different shows, or does he mean several episodes?
I have.
Yeah, it is unclear in that. He's not a very good writer.
He's
and
not.
He stinks.
And he smells bad.
And he smells bad, and he works for Vanity Fair. What is that? That's such a weird
what
combo.
On earth was somebody from Vanity Fair doing there? I couldn't think of a more unlikely magazine.
I know.
I don't know. I have no idea. I don't know. And I there were other media there, I think, but I didn't talk to any of them. I think there was local media. There were, like, you know, local papers and things like that. But this guy
Do you reckon... that he smells so much that he's nicknamed Bigfoot in the office, so they
might
thought
be.
He ought to come back to
yeah.
the conference. Might be.
And he was bitter about it, and his name, and he, yeah.
Yeah.
How many words is the article, would you say?
I'll tell you just a second. I'll copy them and put them in Word, and Word will tell me.
Sweet. The old word count. Yeah.
It's about 1,800 words.
I think I just violated a copyright there. 1,800, that's a pretty lengthy article.
Yeah, but it's on the internet. It could be 20,000 words. It doesn't cost them anything.
So that means it will not be in the printed?
No, this will not be in the magazine. From what we understand, it will not be in the magazine.
Oh, that's a shame.
Yeah.
You were really looking forward to getting your name in Vanity Fair.
So the
no big cover story with your picture of you, Brian?
No.
And
no.
Standing next to a cardboard cutout of Bigfoot? And
no. I'm just glad he didn't.
Okay.
I mean, I guess he was, I guess, relatively speaking, he was nice to me, but I thought he was a jerk. He's really hung up on the sex life of Bigfoot, because Henner, of course, talks, you know, all Henner's doing is he's relating the things that people have said that they've seen. So I don't know that,
right.
You know, Henner's not necessarily leaping to conclusions here. Maybe he is. But for the most part, he's relating what he's read or has had said to him. And in some cases, they're talking about things that maybe you or I might not relate to a room full of people. But Henner decides to do that. And I think that it's especially unfair the way he's treated Henner Fehrenbach in this, because I think that he makes Henner out to be a caricature of himself, and it's really unfortunate, because he's
yeah.
I mean, yeah, he says some things that make me wince, and again, I may not have said them to a room full of people, but Henner's a serious guy, and he's a really nice guy, and he's not crazy,
yeah.
And he's not kooky, and you know, and one of the things he says about Henner is he says he's convinced that Sasquatch is not only real but borderline supernatural, a monster straight out of Greek mythology. That's complete bullshit. I mean, I don't think Henner
yeah.
in any way.
I don't think he would say that.
No, I don't think so either. So, again, unfortunate, very unfortunate.
Yeah. Did Henner at any point refer to a Bigfoot as Zeus?
No, but he did say that he could throw lightning bolts around. So that
okay.
Yeah, that could be part of it. One woman said that she saw a Bigfoot throw a lightning bolt. So other than that, I think.
Oh, my. Well, we got anything else there on that list to
I got nothing
talk
else.
About?
So
yeah,
I wanted to ask you, though, in this summer's walking around, any squatchy stuff? Did you hear any new stories?
No, well, I did hear there was a, wait a minute, what was that last, because this was a two-year project. I hiked a bit last year. I only did 350 miles last year, and then this year was over 1,500. So I did about 60% of the trail this year. There were a couple things. I'm trying to bring, this was last year. There was a couple in central Washington who heard some kind of strange, bizarre scream. And they knew I was into Bigfoot, so they just relayed that on to me, and they were kind of jokey about it. But they didn't know what, they couldn't see what it was, but it kind of freaked them out. Mm-hmm. No, certainly no like visual sighting or no print finds. I still like to refer back to the one in the first film I did, which I think is a legitimate Bigfoot print. I my opinion, the one that. Mad Monty Dodge found in 1977 in the Trinity Alps that is in the film. And the guy is a super straight shooter, and he found it up off the trail about 60 because he was looking for water, and he found it in a muddy wallow. I think you know the one I'm talking about, Brian. Have you seen? Mm-hmm. That to me is still the most credible thing I've heard direct, because I know Monty and I've seen the photo, and the photo to me is very, I see a lot of alleged prints of Bigfoot prints. It just to me cry fake, and this doesn't.
Yeah, it's
I mean, given what my, yeah. So, no. I would say, though, that air, what's interesting about that area, Trinity Alps Wilderness in Northern California, is I've heard more, or people referred to that area as hearing weird screams than anywhere else on the trail. So, obviously, what the source of those screams are, who knows? You know, maybe there's a preponderance of cougars in there or whatever, but I've heard more stories from that area than anywhere else. So, and it's a very remote area, Trinity Alps Wilderness.
Yes, like, sure is.
And, you know, basically within 50 miles of, like, the Patterson film site, even though I do think that's fake. And then within 75 miles of the thing that happened to me in 92, which I don't think is fake. So,
you think the film site is fake?
The film site's real. I've been there, Scott. Don't be
Yeah, the film
smart.
Site... No. The film... I'm sorry. Be specific, babe. Yeah. For God's sake. First of all, look up the word obtuse. Anyway.
So Trinity Alps. So we should go to... Let's go there. Let's go. Come on.
Yeah, it's a great area. And not only is the, you know, the alleged Bigfoot mystery up there, but there's also, you know, there's rumors of giant salamanders that live in some of the lakes up there. I think Lauren Coleman talked about them.
Really?
No. Yeah, literally. There were stories. There were actually something in the 20s or the 30s. There was a couple of newspaper articles that one or two witnesses that had seen what they thought were large, like giant, like 4, 5, 6 foot salamanders that were up in some of these high lakes. And obviously since then there's been no verification of that. There has been actually a new type of salamander in that general area that was discovered, I think, within the last 5 years. I was actually talking about this on the last backpacking trip I went on, but it's something that kind of interesting because, again, it's very remote up there and it's basically on the same latitude where giant salamanders do exist over in China. Hmm. Whether that is any strong evidence or not is
why don't we next summer we can go up there and we'll do a Bigfoot show from there.
That would be good. So it's a combo alive. Bigfoot giant salamander search trip.
Yes. And we can get get some tigers with monkeys glued to them with if we can get the monkeys and the tigers by then.
I think we should hire some dwarves and dress them up like leprechauns, and then they can lead us on mules.
Just for the photograph. I just want to see a photograph of that.
Yeah, and then on the mules, put like fake unicorn horns, and I don't know, DB Cooper's riding on the last mule, or DB Cooper lookalike.
Before we wrap up here, I want to give a little plug for something that is new on the TBRC website that I had a little something to do with. It's called the Report Explorer. If you go to texasbigfoot.org/explorer, or just click the button from the homepage, you'll see all of the encounters that they show to the public, all mapped over the whole 4-state region, and you can zoom in and you can filter it. And from the best of my knowledge, There is no other database on the internet of Bigfoot encounter reports that you can see the entire database of reports mapped all at the same time. So it's pretty cool. So
cool.
I would tell everyone with an internet connection to go to texasbigfoot.org/explorer and check it out.
Cool.
Paul, do you have anything?
No.
Okay.
Oh,
Paul, were you urinating
actually,
right there?
He was. No, thinking about it, yes. I was away last weekend. I was up in Sherwood Forest, and
were you stealing from the rich and giving to the poor?
anyway, Sherwood Forest is very nice, but it's very small these days. But that's not the point. The point was, I was talking to a wildlife photographer from Nottingham, who was telling me that he had been on a shoot a couple of years ago in British Columbia. And they'd sent some technicians, they were out in the forest, they'd sent some technicians to go and set up some equipment before daybreak. And they had been out for about 15, 20 minutes away from the camp before they came herring back to camp, having seen something that was very large and bigger than a bear. Appeared to be something standing upright, but they could just see the outline, the shadow of it.
Wilford Brimley.
Oh, it could have been anything. I just thought I'd tell you. It's just interesting that even on this side of the Atlantic, you can still run into people that have either had encounters or
they know someone.
Know people who have.
Something similar happened to me the other day. Nothing to do with Sherwood Forest. That would be really, really exotic. No, it was my accountant actually at the office told me about someone she knew who I keep telling her to have them contact me, but. They were at their cabin in northern Minnesota and heard some wood knocking. Those are their words. They said it sounded like either wood knocking or rock clacking, but something that sounded like something was beating things together in the woods, and they didn't know what it was. And so they asked one of their neighbors there on the lake, you know, did you hear that? Like, oh, yeah, we hear it all the time. And they said, well, what was that? And they said, oh, it's the old man of the woods. And so that's all. That's all. I'm like, what the? You know, the old man of the woods. Anyway, so I want to talk to these folks because it's weird little things like that that just, like, really, who would call that? There's an old man in the woods? I don't think so. There's an old man in the woods.
Maybe it is just like an 80-year-old guy picks up, like, in a diaper and hits some rocks together.
You kids get out of my lake! Clack, clack, clack.
Now listen, damn it. My name is Rene D. Hinden, Barack Obama, and Bill Clinton. Leave me alone.
All right.
If it wasn't for those pesky kids,
you darn kids. Well, yeah. On that note, I think we have to be done.
Yeah.
All right. Cool.
And I've got to urinate again. and I want to spare the audience that little thing.
Thank you.
You're drinking too much Kool-Aid.
So I think we're all free to go urinate now.
We hope you have enjoyed this episode of the Bigfoot Show. Everyone here at Bigfoot Show Global Omnimedia Productions wishes you and yours a happy, a healthy, and prosperous 2009. I mean, seriously, how much worse could it be than 2008? You can turn off your audio device now.